In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. We've been speaking about Jacob's son Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was really, really treated very harshly and wrongly, and every time he was treated miserably, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord brings good out of evil. The Lord brings good out of everything that we go through. That's real because the Lord was with Joseph. That is what we need to say. And I need to tell you that the Lord is with you today. Jesus is with you. We remember that the baker had a dream and the cupbearer of the king had a dream. And the Lord really told them what it meant. They unfolded the meaning of the dreams, that the baker would die and that the cupbearer would be the cupbearer again for the king. There was an interpretation of this dream. Now the cupbearer is told, please remind the king that I did these things, that God did them through me so that I can get out of this jail. He was in jail, you know. And now we're on chapter 41. After 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. He thought he stood by the river, out of which came up seven cows, very beautiful and fat, and they fed in marshy places. So there are seven. Seven's going to mean something. Then another seven came up out of the river, ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and they fed on the very bank of the river in green places, and they devoured them, once whose bodies were very beautiful and well-conditioned. So Pharaoh awoke. So we see seven cows that are really big and beautiful, and seven lean cows, and they devour the big cows. And he slept again and dreamed another dream. Seven ears of corn came up on one stalk, full and fair. Don't you love that corn that comes out in August? Listen. Then seven other ears sprung up, thin and blasted, and devoured all the beauty of the former. Pharaoh awaked after his rest, and when morning had come, being struck with fear, he sent to all the interpreters of Egypt and to all the wise men, and they being called for, he told them his dream, and there was not one that could interpret it. So Pharaoh has this dream, the dream of seven cows and seven lean cows. And the lean cows eat up the big cows, the good cows, and seven stalks of corn and seven weak stalks of corn. And the weak ones eat up the big ones, the good ones. And Pharaoh goes to his kingdom and he wants to know what my dream is all about. What my dream is all about. No one could interpret it. So we're going to remember where Joseph is. Joseph is in jail. He's in jail because Mrs. Potiphar said that he seduced her, and there was nothing of the kind that happened. It was Mrs. Potiphar that wanted to sleep with Joseph, and so they put him in jail. So let's continue. And devoured all the beauty of the former. Pharaoh awaked after his rest, and then morning was come. Being struck with fear, he sent to all the interpreters of Egypt and to all the wise men that he told them his dream, but not one could interpret it. Then at length the chief butler, or the cupbearer, remembering, said, I confess my sin. The king, being angry with his servants, commanded me and the chief baker to be cast into prison of the captain of the soldiers. Were in one night both of us dreamed a dream foreboding things to come. There was there a young man, a Hebrew, a servant to the same captain of the soldiers, to whom we told our dreams. And we heard what afterwards the event of the thing proved to be so, for I was restored to my office as the cupbearer, and he was hanged upon a gibbet. My friends, it is God who interprets dreams. And you know what? Sometimes dreams are very important to get you through something. You know, I'm not saying that every dream that you have is from God. I'm not saying that at all. But I know I've had a dream, and that dream took me out of torment and took me out of depression. It was when my mother was sick. I had been in an accident with her, and her trachea was broken. And she went down to the operating room 11 or 12 times, and the doctor couldn't fix it. And I was getting so discouraged that I wanted just to quit. I didn't want to play anymore. I didn't want to hear people's stories. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do anything. So one day I asked the Lord, "Lord, I'm dying in the spirit, and you've got to do something. I don't care what you do. You can give me a dream, or you can give me a little child come up to me. I need you to do something for me that only you can do." And so that night I had a dream. And the dream was very simple. I was a wet rug. Now, how can you be a wet rug in a dream? But that's what I was. And Pat was a flicker of fire, like a candle. And she kept on saying to me, "Father Tom, Jesus loves you." She's trying to put this wet rug on fire. I says, "Pat, get away from me." And again, she came up to me, tried to light me on fire. I said, "Don't you know that I'm being tempted by the devil?" And then Pat spoke up. "The devil hates Jesus Christ. And because he can't get at Jesus Christ, he's getting at you. And he's doing a good job." I remember opening my eyes, and I got on my knees, and I asked for mercy. I said to the Lord, "Even if she's never healed, I still want to follow you." And you know what? Things began to turn around with that dream. We found the right doctor, and my mother was partially healed. They took the trach out of her. But I know that I was holding it back because I was so angry and so disappointed, thinking that I was the child that the Lord didn't care for. So the Lord gave me that dream. Some dreams are very important. Now, that dream spoke for itself. I knew what it meant. I remember seeing the Titanic sinking, and I was in Germany, and it wasn't a dream, it was a vision. And as the Titanic was sinking, I remember the lifeboats couldn't get the people on. They didn't know how to get the people on, and then the vision stopped. I saw this with my eyes. And I knew what it meant. How I knew what it meant, I didn't know. I said, "The Titanic is the world economic system." I didn't even know we had a world economic system. I thought every country was sovereign. I didn't know that we were trading with other countries, and that it's no longer just America. It's America and China. It's Italy and America. The world economic system, and the world economic system was about to cave in, sink, and the lifeboat was the church, and they didn't know how to get the people on the boat. And I know right now we owe $17 trillion in debt. $17 trillion in debt. And my Lord, by the end of Obama's term, it'll be $20 trillion. How can we sustain such a country that owes so much and owes so much to China? My Lord, is this the Titanic that sunk? And what's important is that the church learn how to get the people on during the times of trial, during the times of temptation. You know, I heard this morning about the people in Egypt, how Christians are killed one right after the other. Oh my gosh, that this is happening, and no one even talks about it, that Christians are being killed in Egypt, one right after the other, by fanatic Muslims. And I tell you, my friends, this is something that's happening, and we should at least be praying for those people that are giving up their lives for Jesus Christ. The same is happening in China, and the same is happening in much of Africa, Nigeria especially. And we don't even think about these people. No one even tells us about these people. We're so into ourselves that we don't pray for the persecuted Christians throughout the world. That is a job that we need to do, to pray for the persecuted Christians throughout the world. Then at length the chief butler remembered and said, I confess my sin. The king, being angry with his servants, commanded me and the chief baker to be cast into the prison of the captain of the soldiers, where in one night both of us dreamed a dream foreboding things to come. There was there a young man, a Hebrew, it's Joseph, servant to the same captain of the soldiers, to whom we told our dreams, and we heard what afterwards the event of the thing proved to be so. For I was restored to my office as cupbearer, and he was hanged. Forthwith, at the king's command, Joseph was brought out of the prison. The Lord was with Joseph. And they shaved him, and changing his apparel, brought him to the king. So, you know what? They want him to look kind of nice, because he's going to be in the presence of Pharaoh. And he said to him, I have a dream, and I've dreamed dreams, and there is no one that can expound them. Now I have heard that you are very wise at interpreting dreams. Joseph answered, without me, God shall give Pharaoh a prosperous answer. In other words, dreams are from God, and God interprets dreams. So Pharaoh told what he had dreamed. I thought I stood upon the bank of the river, and seven cows came up out of the river, exceedingly beautiful and full of flesh, and they grazed on green places in a marshy pasture. And behold, there followed these other seven cows, so very ill-favored and lean that I never saw the like in the land of Egypt, and they devoured and consumed the beautiful cows, and yet gave no mark of their being full, but there was as lean and favored as before. I awoke and then fell asleep again and dreamed a dream. Seven ears of corn grew upon one stalk, full and very fair. Other seven also, thin and blasted, sprung from the stalk, and they devoured the beauty of the former. I told this dream to the people, and there is no man that can expound on it. Joseph answered, the king's dream is one. God has showed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven beautiful cows and the seven full ears are 7 years of plenty, and both contain the same meaning of the dream. And the seven lean and the seven thin cows that came up after them, and the seven thin ears that were blasted with the burning wind, were 7 years of famine to come, which shall be fulfilled in this order. Behold, there shall come 7 years of great plenty in the whole land of Egypt, after which shall follow 7 years of scarcity, great scarcity, that all the abundance before shall be forgotten, for the famine shall consume all the land. You see, God never does something without revealing it to his prophets. And this was something, you know, during the 7 years of great produce, we are to save as much as we can, because we are going to go into 7 years of famine. So Joseph really saves Egypt. God saved Egypt through Joseph. And this is so beautiful that God was with Joseph. Joseph was in prison for something he didn't do. But you know what? God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. God interprets dreams. Joseph was just there as God's man. Oh, we need God's man in many places, God's woman in many places. I tell you, this is so important, because where will the people be without God's man and God's woman, that they know that these people belong to God and that they are the ones that refer us back to Jesus even when things are rotten? I tell you, my friends, we need God's man and God's woman, or God's men and God's women. We need that God would appoint people like Joseph that would help us during difficult times. Now, I tell you, has God raised up these people? I think he has. But will we listen to them? Will we listen to them? You know, we might be going through a period of great, great trial and tribulation. Who are these all dressed in white? These are they who have gone through the period of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them clean in the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, my friends, we are not in a good place today in America. We are not in a good place today in America. What would happen in America if people couldn't buy bread and people couldn't buy fish and people couldn't buy milk? I tell you, there'd be looting in the streets. There'd be looting in the streets. What would happen if inflation becomes so high that it would cost $8 for a gallon of milk, $9? I tell you, there'd be looting in the streets. And nobody is preparing us for this. Maybe there is one person on the radio. His name is Glenn Beck. Some people think he's crazy. But you know what? He says things that nobody else says. He says things prophetically that nobody else says. And, you know, we all think everything is just wonderful today. We have our food. We have our drink. Everything is wonderful today. But I tell you, things are not wonderful. Things are not wonderful. We have a scarcity of jobs. I have friends that have been looking for jobs for years. They get a job for 6 months, and then they're terminated because they can't pay them anymore, and then they have to start looking again. I tell you, things are not beautiful in the United States today. You know, we need to prepare for the worst. We need to prepare for the worst. I don't want to scare people, but you know what? Pharaoh heard that there was going to be 7 years of great plenty and 7 years of famine, and he was to save during the years of plenty all that he could save so that they would eat during the years of famine. How do we save? Again, I'm not telling you, you know, that this is going to happen today or tomorrow. I'm just saying, you know, do we have spare food in our house? Even if it's a big bag of rice, you know, rice is good when your stomach is empty. A big bag of rice, two big bags of rice. But you see, people say these things can never happen in the United States. We've already been through a Great Depression. You know why my mother had an anointing for saving money? I don't know if it was an anointing. I think it was a fear. I think it was a fear because she went through the period of the Great Depression and they didn't have any money. They never ate meat. I remember my mother telling the story that when she was in the bus, there was a $20 bill that she found, and she wanted to ask people who it belonged to. My grandfather says that's going to be the meat for the table that we haven't had meat in weeks. So they kept the $20. My grandfather said this is from God. Whether it's from God or not, I have no idea. But they were desperate. They were desperate. They had five children and a sick mother. And there was only one working. No, two were working. But you see, we don't know what it means to want. We get everything that we need. That's real. that I don't want for anything. You know, I don't need anything. I don't need it. Just the other day, I finally bought something for myself. I bought pairs of socks. So I said, you know what? I want to put new socks on my feet. So I bought the socks. I don't buy anything for myself. I've got everything. There's nothing that I need. There's nothing that I need. What would happen if we went through the period of great want? What would happen? What would happen? That's the issue. Would we be able to go through it? Because we're all been feeding on bonbons for years. And nobody is telling us to get ready. Do you hear these commercials that you buy food that lasts for 27 years or 37 years? You know, is there something in the works? I have no idea. But it's always good for us to have things in reserve. The Lord told me that we were going to go through a period of not having food. But he told me this. This was years and years ago, before the vision of the Titanic. He told me that as I gave food away, you know what would happen? It would multiply. It would multiply. I'm going to tell you what happened just yesterday. 2 days ago, I went to feed the poor. And this man comes up to me and says, Father, you prayed for me 3 weeks ago for me to get a house. And I've got a house, but I have to pay the first month rent. And this is how much money I have. And I need $50. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So I opened my wallet and I put $50 in his hands. He showed me the paper that he did have the house. So he says, now I can buy the bus ticket to go to the place where it's at, Atlanta, Georgia. I said, that's good. So I'm thinking, you know, $50. I don't spend $50 on myself. Anyway, last night as someone was coming into the church, they put a bill in my hand, $100. I doubled my money. I'm going to tell you, I believe that God knows how to multiply to those people that are His. God knows how to supply to those people that belong to Him. But you see, if there is ever a famine, we better be sharing our goods with people and not be selfish. Not be selfish. The Lord said He would multiply things as we gave them away. Now, that sounds crazy, but you know what? Jesus multiplied fish and loaves, and they collected 12 baskets full of leftovers. I'm telling you, is the dream of Pharaoh like the dream that's going to hit the United States? Are we prepared in faith, with Christ in our life, to face a depression? Are we prepared to just eat rice, you know? I'm telling you, we've never been in want. I've never wanted anything. I've never wanted anything. Why? Because God has been good to me. But you know, what would happen if I was in want? Would I be faithful? Would I share my goods with people? The Lord tells me I must do that. And we're just not ready. We're not ready for anything big to happen in the United States that would cause us to be in want. We are not ready. When I saw the store that just sells boxes, I said to myself, boxes? One store only sells boxes. My Lord, we have really come into the specialty plan. Boxes. They sell boxes. I'm thinking this is crazy. Then another store just sells clothes for pregnant women. I'm saying, you know, everyone's so specialized during these days. What would happen if we were in want? So we come to you, Lord, because, you know, we are the weakest of the weak. We have been raised on bonbons, Lord. but you are God Almighty. And we want to be yours, whether it be in times of plenty or in times of famine. We want to be all yours, Lord, so that you would be proud of us, that if there were times of famine, your people would be sharing with other people. Oh God, I ask you to make us ready if this is about to happen. I ask you to give us knowledge, even as we read about the Pharaoh that had a dream, and the dream was interpreted, and he was going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. But during the 7 years of plenty, he was to save so that he could help his people and give his people something to eat. Lord, help us not to be so stupid as we watch the events of the world and think, oh, it's always going to be good in the United States. Well, I hope that is true, but I don't believe that it is. We are headed for great inflation, and maybe we are headed for another depression. I thank you for listening. Only Jesus can save us, I'm telling you. Only Jesus can save us. He is the Lord, and he says, don't be afraid. He is the Lord, and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. He is the Lord that says, get ready, stay ready, be ready, and be generous. So God, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you, and God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.